Catholics are anything but monolithic. In other words, you can't put Catholics into one single category, or say that all Catholics believe this or that, unless it's been declared by the Church, such as the Immaculate Conception, and even then sometimes, or Catholics like this or that. And I don't mean the fact that there are different religious orders, such as the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Jesuits, etc., nor do I mean the different schools of thought on those things that have not been solemnly defined or condemned, such as Thomism versus Molinism, for example. I'm talking about the laity, the rank-and-file Catholics, the people in the pews or not in the pews. I've counted 12 different types or categories of Catholics. In some cases, the categories are definitive. You are either in it or you're not. Other categories are more fluid, and a person may not fit all the aspects of one particular category, but rather be in two or three categories at once, or in between categories. You'll notice that the Second Vatican Council is largely responsible for these divisions. These are people who were raised Catholic or converted to Catholicism, but have fallen away. Some still consider themselves to be Catholic, but just don't practice Catholicism. Others do not consider themselves to be Catholic at all, and either do not go to church or have joined another church or religion. Unfortunately, this is the largest group. 4 out of 5 people raised Catholic leave the church by the time they reach the age of 23. The reason they are still considered Catholic is because the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, as well as holy orders, leave a mark on your soul. Once you are Catholic, you are always Catholic. You can become a heretic by joining a non-Catholic church, or an apostate by having no religion or joining a false religion, but you will be judged as a Catholic and will go to heaven or hell with these marks on your soul, to your glory in heaven or to your condemnation in hell. Now, every church has this group. They are the annoying people who take your pews on Christmas and Easter. You go to Mass every Sunday and sit in the same spot. Then at Christmas and Easter, you see someone who never goes to church sitting there, and you have to stand. But this group should not exist in the Catholic Church. It's understandable in other churches, perhaps even commendable, because there's no mandate that says you have to go to church every Sunday. So any day you do go to church is a net positive. But in the Catholic Church, it's a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Which is why during these times, rather than the normal 5 to 10 people standing in line for confession on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you walk in at 2:45 thinking you're good, and there's 50 people in line. In my city, the Catholic churches will have special events where one evening they'll have about 10 priests in the church for a couple of hours for a massive confession session in order to try and accommodate these people. But apparently the priests do not tell them that missing Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin and will send them to hell, making what little effort they do put in meaningless because this happens every year. Now, obviously, I'm being tongue-in-cheek about this. I'm glad they at least see the importance of the Catholic Church to some degree, and of course, we need to be charitable in accommodating them during these times, and thank God for giving them the grace to go to confession and Mass and joyfully accept any inconvenience this may cause us. But more of an effort needs to be made on part of the clergy to let these people know that this is not acceptable behavior and will in fact send them to hell if it continues. Now we move on to the practicing Catholics. These people are filled with the spirit of Vatican II. They believe the new springtime actually happened. They believe the Second Vatican Council trumps all other councils. They will say things like, "The Council of Trent was reactionary and no longer applies," or "Vatican II changed that." They question settled dogma such as the existence of purgatory and openly question whether anybody really goes to hell except maybe traditional Catholics. They have a particular disdain for anything Catholic prior to Vatican II, especially the Latin Mass. And they really like the new Mass. I mean, they actually like it. They are responsible for felt banners, clown masses, rainbow masses, masses on the beach, masses with cookies instead of bread, liturgical dancers, the priest facing the people, communion in the hand, the tabernacle being removed, the sign of peace, holding hands, clapping after Mass, the lame music, the ugly art, and the Protestant-looking post-Vatican II churches. All the things that drove people out of the church, creating categories 1 and 2. They are, unfortunately, largely in control of the Catholic Church, making up the majority of bishops, priests, RCIA directors, catechists, lay council members, and Susans from the parish office. Sometime in the late 60s or early 70s, at some retreat somewhere, the people decided to act like Pentecostal Protestants, starting the Charismatic Catholic Renewal, speaking in tongues, words of knowledge, and other supposed manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The movement spread some, but never really gained much prominence in the church. In fact, like everything introduced into the church after Vatican II, it drove people out of the church, in this case, into actual Pentecostal churches where that kind of behavior is accepted. I'm getting this from a conversation I had years ago with a leader of the Charismatic Catholic Renewal in the city I live in, who told me that rather than attracting Pentecostals to the Catholic Church, Catholics who get involved in the Charismatic Catholic Renewal often leave the church for an Assemblies of God or Pentecostal church. So it's driving people out of the Catholic Church, not bringing them into the Catholic Church. What does that tell you? It's not the Holy Spirit. This category makes up the majority of practicing Catholics. They go exclusively to the new Mass, most, if not all, Sundays and Holy Days of Obligation. Some are involved in various parish organizations, such as the Knights of Columbus. Some pray the Rosary or practice the devotion to Divine Mercy, such as praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. They are, by and large, pretty ignorant of the Catholic faith beyond the very basics and have erroneous ideas about the rest. For instance, they rarely confess their sins but take communion every Sunday, because they've not been properly catechized. In fact, many believe that the church no longer has indulgences. Again, none of this is their fault, but rather the fault of those running the church, the Vatican II true believers. These people attend the Novus Ordo, but recognize that there is a major crisis in the church. They understand the faith and recognize that the church no longer reflects that faith, but rather than blaming the Second Vatican Council itself, they blame its implementation, recognizing group number three, the Vatican II true believer, is responsible. And although they recognize that the bishops and even Pope Francis are also to blame, they believe obedience requires us to just take it. They are very devout Catholics who pray the Rosary, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, as well as practice older devotions like the Sacred Heart and devotion to various saints. This is a bit of a wrench. The Benefit Contus is not exclusively Latin Mass. In fact, I would say they are probably more prominent in the Novus Ordo, but they are kind of a subset of the Sedevacantist Contus. They are not Sedevacantists in the strict sense, and they very much object to being called Sedevacantists, and I believe people have the right to name their movement, and Sedevacantist is already taken. The problem is there is no settled name, so I use Benefit Contus, meaning Benedict has vacated the papacy. Although most accept the Second Vatican Council as legitimate, as well as all the popes during and after, they believe that Benedict was the last pope and Francis is illegitimate, either because Benedict XVI did not properly resign, or because the conclave that elected Francis was invalid for various reasons. I also put in this category those who believe that Francis was validly elected pope, but has lost the papacy because of heresy. These are people who were Novus Ordo conservative Catholics, but have become fed up with the Novus Ordo and sought refuge in the approved alternative liturgies, such as the Latin Mass according to the 1962 Missal of Pope John XXIII, which was never abrogated, either at the diocesan TLM, the FSSP, or ICK, or they attend various Eastern Catholic rites or the Anglican Ordinariate. Unfortunately, not all areas have these options, and some of these people travel for hours every Sunday in order to avoid going to the Novus Ordo. And with further restrictions on the Latin Mass coming, many of these people will have to move, go back to the Novus Ordo, or consider joining the next group. Shortly after the Second Vatican Council, because of the dismal state of seminaries, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre started a fraternal order of priests called the Society of St. Pius X, or the SSPX, in order to give seminarians a proper formation and preserve the Latin Mass and traditional rites of the Church. The SSPX does not necessarily reject the Second Vatican Council, but rather see it as the two popes who opened and closed the council, as well as the council sees itself a non-dogmatic pastoral council that did not invoke the charism of infallibility and does not have the guarantee of inerrancy. They accept approximately 90% of what the council says, but reject the council's doctrine of collegiality, its call for what they call false ecumenism, and its apparent definition of the nature of the church, specifically the phrase, "the church subsists in the Catholic Church," rather than the traditional claim that the church is the Catholic Church exclusively. Since these are errors in the council, they say, we are not bound to accept them. They also believe that the new mass and new rites, though valid, are illicit and in violation of the Council of Trent and the papal bull Quo Primum, which irrevocably set the traditional mass and rites as the mass and rites of the Catholic Church. As a result, they celebrate the Latin Mass according to the 1962 Missal exclusively. They recognize all the popes during and after the Second Vatican Council as legitimate popes, including Pope Francis, but they say their authority is limited and they cannot dispense of the old rites and Mass and force the new rites and Mass on them. As a result, they are officially suspended and not allowed to exercise their priestly functions. However, they say that the crisis in the Church gives them the right through supplied jurisdiction to open chapels, perform public Masses, and give the traditional rites to catechize the faithful. Since the Church has reluctantly admitted that attendance of an SSPX Mass does indeed fulfill your Sunday obligation, does not incur a penalty such as excommunication, and you can even give money to them, many people, such as myself, see the SSPX as a means to have access to the Latin Mass and traditional rites and not have to worry about the restrictions coming from Rome. Pope Francis has also extended faculties to SSPX priests for the sacrament of confession and conditional faculties for marriage. Through the decades, different priests and one bishop have left the SSPX, forming their own groups for various reasons. The SSPX Resistance, Bishop Williamson, one of the four bishops consecrated by Archbishop Lefebvre, the SSPX Marian Corps, and others, claim that the leadership of the SSPX has lost its way since the death of Archbishop Lefebvre, and that they carry the mantle of Lefebvre and are, in fact, the true SSPX. And though they have SSPX in their name, the concessions made by Rome to the real SSPX do not extend to these groups. In the early 80s, nine priests were expelled from the SSPX for their belief in sedevacantism, the refusal to accept diocesan annulments, and the refusal to use the 1962 Missal in favor of a prior one. These priests formed the SSPV and then later CSPV. Through the years, many of the priests, such as Father Cicada, Bishop Sanborn, and Bishop Dolan, not that Dolan, that Dolan, left the SSPV over various disputes, mainly that took consecrations, and formed their own sedevacantist groups. Now, the FSSP, or Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, who are counted in one of the previous groups, the Obedient Trad, are also a non-society Lefebvreist group. Shortly after the episcopal consecrations performed by Archbishop Lefebvre without Rome's approval in 1988, 12 priests and 20 seminarians left the society, unwilling to follow the movement into what they believed would be schism and excommunication due to the consecrations. Willing to make concessions concerning Vatican II and the new Mass that Lefebvre was not, the fraternity received canonical status from Pope John Paul II. Sedevacantists believe that the Catholic Church apostatized sometime shortly before, during, or shortly after the Second Vatican Council. Because the changes made at the Council were so radical, the Church ceased being the Catholic Church and became a new religion. As a result, the new Mass and new rites are invalid. All this means that there hasn't been any legitimate or valid priests, deacons, or bishops made using the new rites of consecration and ordination. This also means there hasn't been a legitimate pope since Pius XII or John XXIII, hence the term sedevacantist. Latin for the chair, in this case of Peter, is empty. While these groups are exclusively Latin Mass, they typically do not use the 1962 Missal, since most of them do not recognize John XXIII as a valid pope, or see problems with the Missal itself. So these groups use an earlier Missal. Sedevacantists are actually very diverse, and while you would think they would be united, they're not. In fact, they are very factional, often accusing other groups of having invalid orders. Sedevacantists basically have two patrimonies, which often intersect. priests who were ordained by Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre but kicked out of the society for being Sede Vacantists, and priests who were consecrated a bishop by exiled Vietnamese bishop Nguyen Dinh Thuc. Not all Sede Vacantist priests are in the Lefebvre line, nor all the bishops in the Thuc line, but they are the most prominent patrimonies. The Thuc episcopal consecrations are thought by many to be suspect and probably invalid, mainly because they were done in private with little evidence. The questionable mental state of Bishop Thuc at the time, and comments that he made afterwards claiming to have withheld his intent, which is necessary for a sacrament to be valid. The opinions on the Thuc consecrations run the gambit. From those who accept all of them as valid, those who accept some but reject others, and those who reject all the consecrations. Now, this is a problem because we are on the third and fourth generation of the Thuc line. If those consecrations are invalid, then so are all the priestly ordinations that those men have done, as well as all the confirmations of the laity. Validity of holy orders is not the only thing they fight about. Some see the belief in Sede Vacantism as a personal decision that has no real bearing on one's salvation, while others say a person must be a Sede Vacantist in order to be saved. This is called dogmatic Sede Vacantism. Some believe it's okay to attend what's called unicum masses that mention the current residing pope, so long as the mass is in the 1962 Missal or earlier and the priest's orders are valid, in other words, the SSPX. And others say you can't. Some say you can't go to masses at all because there is no mandate from the hierarchy, since none exists, and no miracles to prove an extraordinary mission. These are called home aloners. They stay home on Sunday and pray the rosary, baptize and catechize their children, and make frequent acts of contrition, since there is no sacrament of confession. While these groups agree with Sede Vacantists that the Church apostatized and ceased being the Catholic Church with the Second Vatican Council, and that the conciliar popes, new mass, and other rites are invalid, rather than seeing the papacy as vacant, they have taken it upon themselves to hold conclaves and elect a pope, or follow a line of popes they believe were appointed by God after the Second Vatican Council. The most notable are the Palmarian Church, started by Clemente Dominguez Gomez, who was consecrated a bishop by Archbishop Thuc, then later claimed to have been appointed pope by heaven and went by Pope Gregory XVII. Interestingly, the Palmarians believe the Second Vatican Council to be illegitimate, but recognize Pope Paul VI as Gomez's predecessor. Gomez has had many successors, and the current pope of the Palmarian Church is Joseph Odermatt, who goes by Pope Peter III. And David Bowden, who took the name Michael, was elected pope by his mother, father, and a few other acquaintances. Bowden has passed away, and a new conclave elected Rogelio del Rosario Martinez Jr., who goes by the name Michael II. Of course, none of these groups see the other as any more valid than the guy in Rome, and literally everyone else considers these men to be antipopes. Well, there you have it. These are the different types or kinds of lay Catholics. Until my next video, God bless.